The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Over the last few days, I've been playing around with a new public crime mapping portal that has been put out. And Medford Police ended up having a release about it a few days ago. I was rather intrigued about this, so I invited Lieutenant Jeff Kirkpatrick to come on the program from MPD. Jeff, it's great to have you on. Welcome.
Hey, it's great to be here, Bill.
Thank you. Where was the idea for this GeoShield communities mapping thing? Was there a grant program that came around, or was this something that has been in the process of getting formed nationwide, and now we're just having police departments and sheriff's departments starting to put their crime data in it? What was the basis of this, please?
Well, really, the driving force behind this is one crime analyst that we have at the Medford Police Department. We have a team of crime analysts, and one of them has been working with this program and saw a need for us to be able to push out more information to the community. We get a lot of requests about statistics, and sometimes those statistics are really difficult to kind of mine the data and get it out into a format that makes sense to the public. So this is kind of the first of a couple of different things that we're going to do in the form of pushing information out to the public so that they can look at the data themselves. They don't have to, you know, email us or call us, and then we give them the data, but they can be proactive in looking at the data themselves. So it really is a transparency tool for us to be able to share with the community things that are happening in their community.
Was it something that Medford Police created, or there was already the GeoShield community that we ended up just joining? What was that process?
Yeah, essentially, GeoShield is one of many programs that we use for statistics. Mm-hmm. So GeoShield is a product that we have that we use, and one of the functions that GeoShield provides is this communities map. But there's a bunch of other functions that it provides, the map itself is something that GeoShield provides, and we've been working on getting it into a format that we thought would work for our community.
And what happens, folks, by the way, the website for this, and I'm going to link it on my show blog today, it's geoshieldcommunities.com. And then you agree to the terms, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And you put an address in, and then the map zooms into your neighborhood or into your particular address of interest. And then you're able to select all sorts of various crimes to see, okay, how many people have, or how many of these type of crimes have happened maybe over the last week, over the last 2 weeks, maybe a month, 6 months, or a full year, you know, that kind of thing, right? And then it ends up showing different areas of the city where the problems have been. Would that be a fair assessment overall, what's going on here?
Yeah, and there's a bunch of different ways that you can search it. You can filter by address. You can simply use the map to zoom to a particular area, and you can filter by how many days worth of data you want to see, whether it's 7 or 14 or an entire month, an entire year. You can filter by the police agencies that put data into this program. And then you can filter by the type of crime as well. So it gives you a bunch of different methods to be able to kind of search that data on the map.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. I just typed in the address of the radio station on Avion Drive in Medford, you know, out by the airport. And so I said, okay, over the last 2 weeks, now how many assaults happened, right? And there was an assault right around the corner. There was in one of the businesses apparently here. And somebody got into somebody's face, and then Medford Police had to show up, right? That's the kind of thing you can see. Yeah, and you can make it as granular as you want over a week, like I said, a month or beyond. It's quite interesting, really.
It is. And, you know, it won't give you the exact address. We're trying to protect exact addresses, especially in some of the more sensitive cases. But it will give you the case number. So if you have a vested interest in finding out what that case is, you can take that case number, go to our website, fill out a public information request form, and get a hold of that police report. It may be redacted, of course. You can do some more information if you have a business that you want to find something more out about a case that happened nearby. Mm-hmm. You definitely have the ability to do that.
How far can the data go back?
Well, right now it looks like it's a year. I'm looking at it right now as in real time, and it looks like a year but that gets real busy on the map real quick when you click on a year.
Oh yeah, I imagine so. Especially with something like disorderly conduct, right? That seems to be a pretty big one.
or you know, trespasses. Those seem to be big as well.
Yeah. Now, I noticed the crimes that are listed up there. You have arson, assault, counterfeiting, and forgery, destruction, damage, vandalism, disorderly, driving under the influence, drug, narcotic, fraud, larceny, motor vehicle theft, other, trespassing too. But what I was kind of surprised to see nothing in there about assault, or, like sexual assault or rape or murder, although we don't have that many murders as a rule. Was there a reason why that's not put in there in the map?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of those cases are pretty sensitive in nature, right? And a lot of cases like those, the victim and suspect are known to each other. The victim doesn't want that information out there. And so there are a few types of cases that are not put into this map for that reason.
Okay. What's really interesting about this, I could see if you were getting ready to buy a home or move to a certain section of a city, I could see you using this just to kind of take a look and see how busy is my neighborhood. Is that a fair assessment of what's going on?
It is, and we get that request pretty regularly, whether or not it comes through dispatch and goes to a patrol officer or whether or not it comes through our admin email. We'll get that request, hey, I'm looking to move to this particular area of the city. What can you tell me about the crime in that area? Well, this gives us the ability to like, hey, check out this map. You can filter it. You can look at it and make your own determination. And it gives the power to the user.
Okay. And are there any particular neighborhoods that tend to be a little more sporty, so to speak?
You know, over time, Bill, and I've been doing this for quite a long time, it varies. There's not one particular area of the city that's like, oh, this is a safe area, this is an unsafe area. It varies, and it depends on what you're looking at. I'm looking at the map, and it's fairly well spread out over the entire city. There are things like downtown, right, where you have a lot more pedestrian traffic. Maybe Hawthorne Park plays in a little bit to some of the crime data in that downtown area. Well, you'll see some of those bigger bubbles, or you'll see a bigger grouping of crimes happening over a certain period of time.
Now, are all of the law enforcement agencies involved in this, or is it only Medford Police right now? Lieutenant.
Well, Jackson County Sheriff's Department, I know that they are also using this program, and you can click on, if you go to filter by agency, you can click just by Jackson County Sheriff's Department as well. So when you zoom out on the map, it gives you the entire county, and you can just search by Jackson County Sheriff's Department.
How long does it take before crime statistics end up getting into the MAPS database? Do you know?
It takes a little bit of time, so it's not real-time data, and that's one of the things we want the public to be aware of. Like, if something happens this morning, you're not going to see it in that map, because what has to happen is that, you know, the officer has to respond to the call for service, verify information, take a report. That report goes through a system of checks and balances, and then it's actually processed by our records division. Once it's processed by the records division and inputted into the system as a particular crime code, then it will update on the map. So it can vary between a few days to a week or so.
Yeah. And that makes sense. It would have to grind through the system to a certain extent. It's not just
correct.
A call, right? It's not just a call for service. There has to be a little bit more to it, because often a call for service doesn't really lead to anything, does it?
That's correct. That's correct.
Talking with Lieutenant Jeff Kirkpatrick from Medford Police Department, and we're talking about this. It's this new public crime mapping portal. It's the GeoShield Communities program. And the website is geoshieldcommunities.com. Now, Lieutenant, I don't know if we have someone cleared for you or not. I'm just going to hit the call and see if they had a question for you. Hi, good morning. Do you have a question for Lieutenant this morning?
Hi, good morning. I do. This is Deb calling.
Yeah, hi, Deb.
And
how are you?
First of all, Lieutenant, I wanted to thank you for your service and, you know, everything you do, putting your lives out there on the line for us to keep us safe every day.
Oh, it's our honor. Thank you, Deb.
Yes, and this is a pretty interesting thing. I'm very encouraged to hear this. I think the closer it can get to real time is going to be great. My question is what is being done, if anything, in Josephine and Jackson County, if you guys have gotten to it yet, to watch ahead of time for any of this Venezuelan gang takeovers of the apartments and stuff? It truly did happen in Aurora, Colorado. It has now started happening in Midtown Manhattan. And I just want to know, what are we doing in this area to watch for it? And then I also want to say, as a community member, I know I'm going to be going to my local sheriff department and counsel and asking and bringing up the same thing.
That's really interesting. Hey, Deb, good question. Hey, Lieutenant, I don't know if we've had much noise about the gang type activity in Southern Oregon yet. Could you respond to that, maybe?
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard anything particularly or specific about that particular topic. But what I can tell you is that when it comes to trying to forecast problems, that's something that we do all the time. And with the advent of technology, and you know, I was just at some conferences lately that were talking about the use of AI and the use of predictive policing, using AI and different models for us to be able to roll out and be proactive in trying to prevent some of this stuff. It's out there, and it's stuff that we're starting to use, and it's stuff that we're starting to kind of get our hands around. But yeah, we have to pay attention to things. We have to pay attention to things that are happening as trends on a national level to ensure that they're not coming to our community. But to answer Deb's question, to my knowledge, we haven't seen any of that happening here, though. Of course, we're looking at things on a national level and thinking, okay, what's going to happen here, and how is that going to affect the Jackson County or the Southern Oregon community?
You know, Lieutenant, you were talking about AI in that forum you were discussing. And how many times was the movie Minority Report brought up, if at all?
it was brought up, and it's a lot different than that, and that's a really interesting conversation, and probably one that's going to take a lot longer than the time we have today. But it is really interesting, and while I don't think that we're getting to the point of the Minority Report, there are definitely some things that can be used to give us actionable steps to look at future crime. It's out there now.
So you're able to nip it in the bud rather than just being reactive. I get that.
Right, yeah. Right. And it doesn't mean that, you know, your police department's going to go out and make pre-arrests on future crimes. That's not even in the conversation. But being able to prevent crime might be something that is definitely doable.
Yeah, because essentially that movie's plot was about AI, essentially, in charge of crime fighting. And in this particular case, it was predictive. But I thought it was quite – I had a feeling, you know, they had to mention this in that.
It definitely comes up. Yeah. It definitely comes up.
All right. Let me go to line three. Hello, line three. You are on with Lieutenant Jeff Kirkpatrick, Medford Police. We're talking crime this morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning, LT. Bob Shand here in Medford. Is there any publicly accessible maps that show motor vehicle accidents?
I'm not sure. Bob, I'm looking at the map right now to see if that's something that is on here. I've got motor vehicle theft. But these are all crimes, is what I'm looking at
right
here. Motor vehicle actions typically are not criminal. There's usually a violation.
You know, sometimes we have some, you know, hot intersections or hot areas where there's an uptick in motor vehicle accidents, and it's really hard to, you know, ask for or find the stats of how often does this intersection, you know, have a motor vehicle accident. I think that would be really helpful.
All right.
I appreciate that, and I'll actually pass that on because I think that's a great suggestion because that is
and publicly accessible like the map.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, great job, great question there, Bob. You know, this is a very interesting project, and like I said, the fact that it is so easily accessible, you're using public information on this, and how much does this cost to actually put on? And was there some grants involved with this, or is this just part of the regular budgeting process?
It's part of the regular budgeting process. There's a lot of software and a lot of programs that we use that we budget into our regular budget every biennium. So this is one of those things that we budget into our budget, much like a lot of the other software that it takes to be a part of a 21st century policing agency. So it does take money, it does take effort, and it takes people with the knowledge and how to use it. So and those people cost money too.
I have a question that just got sent to me from a friend of mine, and I imagine you hear this a lot. Is it one of those situations these days where you're just arresting the same idiot time after time after time, or is that changing in some ways?
No, I don't think that's changing. I mean, there's certainly repeat offenders out there, right? That is a very common thing, and there are folks out there that we deal with on a daily basis. But it's not everybody. right? I think the majority of our public are good, responsible citizens. Sometimes they mess up. But there are definitely the bad actors out there. And there is a lot of repeat and a lot of recidivism that comes with some of the folks that commit crimes in our community.
Lieutenant Jeff Kirkpatrick, I appreciate the time this morning. And the website, geoshieldcommunities.com, really interesting. And it's this live act. It's not live, but it's within a few days usually of when crimes have been committed. And it puts all sorts of various crimes up, and it's up there according to different agencies. You can filter it by the crimes. You can filter it by the particular neighborhood where you are. And I really, it's pretty easy to use, really. And it's interesting what you'll learn about your particular city as you go through it. I'm just kind of wondering, when you get something like that going, do you have other people saying that too? Like, hey, I'm kind of addicted to this. I mean, where's the action? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we get a lot of folks. So there's a lot of folks that want to be knowledgeable in what's going on in their community out there. We see it in our interactions on social media. We see it in the, you know, phone calls coming in every day and the emails that come in every day. People want to know. And so this gives us the ability to really be transparent with the community and get that information out to them and get it in their hands. And like I said earlier, we've got some other stuff that's going to roll out too, probably in the next few weeks, where we'll have a public information portal that'll give you graphs and statistics on crime data and the Medford Police Department. You know, our talk about our workforce, talk about the, you know, our uses of force, talk about all of our community engagement tools. So we're rolling out stuff to be transparent with the community, and it's going to be some good things.
Final question I have for you, Lieutenant, how's recruiting going?
Awesome. We're doing great.
Oh,
you know, nationwide, everybody I talk to is always struggling for folks. We're not. We're doing great. We're doing really good right now. We'll do another hiring process probably early next year. I've got some stuff coming up on the recruitment front, but we're doing well personnel-wise. We pay our folks well. We treat them well. We've got a good culture here at MPD, and people like working here.
All right.
So it's a good thing.
Hey, glad to hear that. And I was looking at my my particular neighborhood, Northeast Medford. It's very boring for crime, and I hope we keep it that way.
Okay. Yeah, me too. That sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Lieutenant. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Lieutenant Jeff Kirkpatrick, it is 7:30 at KMED.
The People's Commissioner. Hi, this is Rob.
Garrisons.com.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
We'll catch up with the rest of the local news here. Bill London, KMED News Center. And then we're going to talk with Gordon Chang. Gordon Chang, this is deep dive. He has a new book out called Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. I have to ask him, hey, Gordon, what's it about? Oh, it's in the title. I could see this coming up. Gordon has been doing a deep dive on the Communist Party's infiltration into the United States of America. And in 100, 110 pages or so, he lays out a really interesting case. And after news, we'll have this conversation with him. We have Josephine County Commissioner Bear Chigger on for normally we catch up on some party politics on Tuesday, but we're going to do that today, you know, instead. And then tomorrow, by the way, we're going to have... you know, we don't have judicial debates, so to speak, but we are going to have both of the Jackson County Circuit Court, I think it's position 11 candidates on, different hours. 7:10 Judge Rowan is going to be on. We're going to talk with him about that at 7:10. And an hour later, Johan Pietila will be on at 8:10. So it'll be an interesting contrast between the 7 a.m. and 8:10 a.m. hour, that sort of thing. And we'll keep you up on that. Ron Smith, of course, will be joining me on Friday's show for a conversation on Josephine County particular issues, too. So we're going to be all over here. I know the ballots dropped, and I don't know. I noticed that early voting is just exploding out in Georgia. Hopefully they're legitimate voting. I mean, that's all I care about. Everyone's going to be talking about, oh, the ballots are in. Are they legitimate? Isn't that really what matters? This is the Bill Myers Show. Gordon Chang in a couple of minutes here.
Imagine a Jackson County where every family feels safe. No resident is homeless.
He's serving as your state representative.
For a healthier Medford, vote for Kim Wallen. Visit electkimwallen.com. Paid for by Friends of Kim Wallen, PAC 18284.
Hi, I'm Stephen with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. And I'm on KMED.
7:37, proud to bring on Gordon Chang. He's columnist at Newsweek, regular contributor to The Hill, writes for Newsmax. His news has appeared practically everywhere, his pieces, rather. And you can find out more about him, GordonChang.com. He's written a brand new book here, and it's entitled Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. Good morning, China. Good morning, Gordon, I should say, about China. How are you doing this morning, Gordon? Welcome.
I'm fine, Bill, and thank you so much.
Okay. I don't know if that was a Freudian slurp or what, but, you know, the reason I wanted to bring this up, and first question I wanted to bring up here, I don't have to ask you what Plan Red's about. I think you have it right there in the title. There's no way to misinterpret what you're saying there. I have a question about the way our elected officials over a number of years were dealing with communist China, and I want to get your opinion on that first. And it had to do with everybody who was anybody for years was going on trade junkets to China. And it was all about under the guise of, we're going to trade with China, we're going to give them Oregon agricultural goods and this and that and the other, and then we'll be able to trade and everyone's going to be happy back and forth. Were we being played even then, in your opinion, or is this something which is more of a recent development? What say you?
We've been played from the very beginning because China has not traded with the United States fairly. China has been employing both predatory and criminal practices. Now, yes, farmers have benefited from this, but America's industry has not. And so we have seen the decimation of our factories and decimation of entire communities because of China's intellectual property theft, plus also the way that they structured their economy. Now, we should have known better, so this is on us. But nonetheless, China's been engaging in a trade war against the U.S. for decades.
Do you agree with former President Trump and the plan to tariff communist Chinese goods? And, you know, he says that, you know, you essentially make China pay for it, but normally tariffs are something that the end user, you know, we would pay. How do you see it?
Yeah. In 2018, when he imposed the Section 301 tariffs on China, studies have shown that somewhere between 75% to 81% of the cost of those tariffs were absorbed by China in one way or another, because China needed the American market. And so, therefore, in order to make its products competitive, we had the Chinese state plus Chinese exporters picked up the cost. So Trump is right on that, because a lot of very smart people in New York and Washington were telling us, oh, you know, the American consumers are going to pay those tariffs. Well, they didn't. Now China is in a position where it needs us even more than it did in 2018. You know, Trump's tariffs are going to be higher this time, which means I'm not sure that China will pick up all the costs, but it will continue to pick up a significant portion of the cost of any additional tariffs.
Gordon Chang, his book is Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. You write in here that China has penetrated American society so completely that the Chinese Communist Party is able to kill Americans with impunity. Wow. Do they do this through targeted hits, or are there other ways that they accomplish this? Just curious. What do you mean?
Yeah, between 70,000 to 75,000 Americans die each year from doses of illicit Chinese fentanyl. And this is not the work of Chinese quote-unquote criminals. These criminals, and some of them are indeed state enterprises, are engaged in the fentanyl trade with both the knowledge and the approval of the Communist Party, because we know that the regime's diplomats give cover to the gangs. Every container that leaves China is inspected by Chinese officials. And the Chinese fentanyl producers, they launder their proceeds through the Chinese state banking system. China's TikTok promotes illicit drug use in the United States. So this is a project run at the very top of the Chinese political system to kill Americans. And because of we have a number of politicians, both parties, both liberals and conservatives, have not wanted to challenge China because they have not wanted to confront the reality of what the Chinese are doing.
Does China actually buy off American politicians? And if so, how?
Well, they certainly do. I mean, there's certainly money flows, as we've seen, for instance, with the Biden family. But it's also more than that, just that. It's also blackmail and intimidation. So, for instance, the Ministry of State Security of China contacted the representative of California's 15th district with a very beautiful young woman named Christine Fong. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I'm speaking about Eric Swalwell.
Right.
This is not to say that Eric Swalwell did anything wrong, but it is to say that China used sex against Swalwell and against a number of other politicians throughout the United States with Christine Fong. So, yes, they do that. And when it comes to the president of the United States, I'm concerned not so much about the money flows into the Biden family. I'm concerned that Hunter Biden, the president's son, during a very troubled period of Hunter Biden's life, was in China. And if he did anything compromising, I'm sure the Ministry of State Security has evidence of that and probably will be using it one way or another against the president of the United States.
Do our security organs take communist China seriously, or they are still even an afterthought at this point in time, Gordon?
They take them seriously, but they don't understand, I think, seriously enough, because China presents an existential challenge to the U.S., and we're not treating them like an existential challenge. And it's the Communist Party thinks this way, and it's not because of anything that we say or do, Bill, but it's because of who we are. When you have an insecure regime in Beijing, it's worried about the inspirational impact of America's values and form of governance on the Chinese people. So the Communist Party believes it will never be safe as long as we exist as a nation. Oh. And that's why the Communist Party has declared a people's war on us, which in Communist Party lingo is total war.
And so we're not talking about just economic war. We're not talking about political war. We're also talking about World War II. You think that that's actually in the cards at the moment?
Well, China's waging three proxy wars right now on three separate continents. In Europe, in Ukraine, throughout North Africa, and of course in the Middle East with Israel. The Chinese are also got their troops deep in Indian-controlled territory. They are engaging in very belligerent activities with regard to Japan, Taiwan, and the Philippines. They're ignoring American warnings. This is very, very dangerous. And that's why many people in Asia think that they are close to war. So right now, the United States is not deterring the Chinese, and we can see this because they're ignoring our warnings. So, yes, we've got to be concerned that we could be involved in history's next great war.
Hmm. When it comes to Chinese waging war on it, does it also include cultural war? Because I noticed that TikTok doesn't seem to, in China, have a bunch of LGBTQ sort of stuff, sort of culture corroding kind of aspects to it. But the United States version of it does. Is this intentional?
It certainly is. You're referring to Douyin, which is the Chinese version of, and it's run by ByteDance, which also owns TikTok. We know that ByteDance, at the behest of the Communist Party, uses its curation algorithm to promote Communist Party themes. That curation algorithm is what determines your kids see and what they don't see. And China has used that curation algorithm to promote Hamas, as well as to promote Russia's war effort in Ukraine. And we know, as I mentioned, that they promote all sorts of social trends in the U.S. that China believes will divide the American people and bring us down. So, yes, this is political warfare, and we are not paying attention to it.
I want to shift over to economics here for a little bit. What about China, the central bank's recent stimulus efforts? Is that having any kind of a positive effect on their economy at this time?
It's having somewhat of a positive. It probably will, but not very much. What they're doing in the central bank is trying to lower interest rates to lending rates in order to stimulate factories and infrastructure. But at the same time, they're going to be lowering deposit rates. And by lowering deposit rates, they're aggravating their number one economic problem, which is poor consumption. Everyone tells the Chinese that the only sustainable basis for the Chinese economy is consumption. But the measures that Beijing has announced in the last 2-3 weeks, they're mostly anti-consumption. And that means that China is driving itself deeper into a hole. I mean, I don't know why people think that more state intervention is going to cure the problems that were caused by previous state intervention.
Yeah, do you have any prediction on the strength of their economy? Because others will say that it's actually much weaker than it would appear.
Yes, it's not growing at the 4.7% pace that they claim for the second quarter this year. It's probably about zero now. One can make a case for maybe plus 0.5 mm-hmm. or even negative 0.5, but it's somewhere around zero.
If it's around zero in reality, then isn't this a more dangerous time for our relations? because, you know, at this point, maybe you make the move. You make a move.
Yeah. I think that Xi Jinping, for various reasons, and not just the economy, is seeing a closing window of opportunity. And I believe that he might lash out, not so much to rally the Chinese people, because the Chinese people don't want war. They really, really don't want war. But I think that he might do this to prevent other senior Communist Party figures from deposing him. So he has personal incentives to lash out. And that's why we're seeing more and more belligerent activity as China's economy and other things deteriorate.
How should we best respond? I mean, I got about 90 seconds left in your, you know, my time with you. So I know it's a big deal, but maybe you can give me a thumbnail sketch.
We have to sever our relations with China because China uses every point of contact to take down our society. And right now, China is particularly vulnerable because they've placed their fate in our hands because Xi Jinping is trying to export his way out of crisis. And our market is the world's biggest by far. So he needs to be able to sell to American purchasers. And we have the power to stop that. So, yes, it's going to hurt a little bit. But the point is that if we want to save our country, we better do something now because China is overwhelming us all across the board.
Yeah, don't downplay this, in other words. Plan Red, China's project to destroy America. I will link to where this is available. Of course, your website here, too. And it's not an incredibly long book, like about 120 pages or so. So this is worth people's time, wouldn't you say, Gordon? They can figure this out.
Yeah, you can read it in one sitting. And by the way, I also tweet out my points on at Gordon G. Chang.
Gordon G. Chang on X, okay? Gordon G. Chang, we appreciate you so much, and thanks for taking a few minutes of your time for us this morning, okay?
Well, thank you so much, Bill. I really appreciate it.
Plan Red, China's project to destroy America. This is the Bill Myers Show.
We're thrilled to announce we're back with our Veterans Metal Roof Giveaway. After the joy of giving away our first roof, we're honoring veterans with a free custom metal roof. One deserving veteran will win this amazing gift absolutely free. Don't delay. Enter now. The contest ends November 5th. Winner will be chosen on Veterans Day. Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., where quality and community come together. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com for entries, details, and rules.
The inflation, yeah, it's moderating, at least according to the statistics, but it doesn't mean the prices are going down, you know that. You need to talk with Steve Yancey over at Sky Park Insurance. It's not like all of a sudden your homeowner's insurance, which was $1,200 one year, all of a sudden became $400 the next. Not yet, unless you have a really, really good insurance company, which I don't think anybody does at this point. But Steve can help you navigate all of this. Steve Yancey is a, he's an independent. Doesn't work with just one company's offering, works with many different companies. Ended up helping me save a lot of money on car insurance. Boy, I was just getting hosed. I couldn't believe, you know, in retrospect, I'm wondering, gosh, I let myself get hosed a few more months than I should have if I just called Steve a little bit earlier. Well, you can call him today and prevent the hosing or fix a hosing that you've been having. 261-5444. 541-261-5444. 261-5444. Saves a lot of money for KMED and KBXG listeners. And Lynn Barton's also now at Sky Park, part of the Sky Park family, working on the Medicare and that side of it, trying to get all of those questions answered and to help you out too. 261-5444 or skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy. American Insurance.